you stand with me, grab your Bibles, hold them in the air. I'm going to put this mic away because I can't stand holding this thing while I'm preaching. Say this with me. Say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is the Word of God. And God's Word is devil destruction power. With my Bible, I can defeat the devil every single day. This is my Bible. My Bible is the Word of God. And God's Word is the revelation of His will for my life. Whatever it says I am, that's what I am. Whatever it says I can do, I can do it. Whatever it says I have, I claim it. In Jesus' name, Father God, we thank you for the opportunity we have to hear your word, to teach your word, and to preach your word. And we give you all glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. I don't want to neglect the fact that I see my buddy Jeremiah back there, man. I'm so happy to see you, man. I've been wanting to come over and minister to you, but we're gonna get around to that. All right. I love this man. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. I'm so glad to see you here today, Greg. And I'm so glad that my main man Tom is here today. Praise God. Or excuse me, T.L. Anderson. As he goes by his artwork. And my daughter, I love you, Faith. And you know, every time I see you, it just brings a joy to my heart. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. And let's not forget that my daughter, Evelyn, got her driver's license today. Give God a hand, praise God. Don't y'all remember when y'all first got y'all driver's license? Y'all just wanted to drive all over the place, didn't you? I'm telling you, when I got my driver's license, you couldn't stop me. Now, 30 years later, I can't stand driving down the street. Turn me to, in your Bibles, the 1 John chapter 2, verse 14. We're going to... Last night I put a video up on YouTube, and I felt, you know, it was so consistent with today's message, I might as well just use the same slide that I created the video with to teach you today. But in 1 John chapter 2 verse 14, which is our foundation text, it says,
"Unto you fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning."
I don't need you to preach it. All right. I forgot that was still on there. Okay. So we won't be using that video. But, let's go back to the slide. So we'll just keep that up there. But turn with me to 1 John chapter 2, verse 14. I forgot to remove the recording when I switched that over. 1 John chapter 2 verse 14 says, "I have written unto you fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you young men, because ye are strong." Say, ye are strong.
Yes.
"And the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one." One of the things I want to point out to you today in this particular passage of scripture, we've looked at it numerous times, and we've probably extracted this, I don't know how much, but repetition is a good part of teaching. Amen?
Amen.
Sometimes you got to hear it over and over and over again before you get it. See, sometimes people get upset because pastor seems like he's preaching the same thing over and over again, right? No, she don't get upset, but she's like, "I heard that before." But in order for us to live this thing, we've got to keep hearing it until it gets inside of us. I can't move on and preach other things until we get this. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Because if you're still problem focused instead of word focused, then it won't do me any good to move on to another subject, because you'll still be caught up in your problems. So you've got to learn how to be word focused so that you can be a problem overcomer. And one of the things you've got to do in order to overcome problems is to be strong. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. And the Bible also tells us that the Lord is your strength. So in order for you to appropriate the strength that God has made available to you, you've got to learn to get into God's word. Because the word of God is what gives you strength. Glory to God. The Bible tells us here, John told the young men, he says, ye are strong. Why? Because the word of God abides in you. Pastor Mary gave us some teaching last week about abiding in the word of God and having the word of God abiding in us, and we abiding in Christ Jesus, and our prayers are answered because we are abiding in him. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
But you can't abide in him unless you have the word abiding in you. So you need to have the word of God in you. Christians have to stop being lazy. We've got to stop dusting this thing off or even having to look for it all over the place on Sunday morning before we go to church, because we can't seem to find it because we forgot where we put it at last Sunday. We need to be reading this thing every single day. Glory to God.
Amen.
The days are over. Unless you belong to the Catholic Church, the days are over where the man of God spoon feeds you. I will teach you. I will preach to you. But you can only, most of y'all only come once a week. Most of you don't come to the Bible study or anything like that. Most of you only come on Sunday. And so if this is the only time you're getting fed, you're in trouble. How many of y'all eat on Sunday, eat natural physical food once a day on Sunday, and don't eat the rest of the week? How many of y'all do that? None of you. Unless you're on a fast. But most of us eat at least 2 to 3 times a day, praise God.
Amen.
I try to eat only 2 times a day because, you know, I'm seeing, you know, I look in the mirror and I'm like, you know, I think you're a little bit overfed. So I try to only eat 2 times a day, but I do eat. So if my natural body needs physical food, then my spirit man can only live as I feed it on the spiritual food, which is the word of God. Praise God.
Uh-huh.
And that's how I get strong. I build strong spiritual bones by allowing myself to find out what is written in God's word and begin to walk in it and live in it. And so you will be strengthened as you get into the word of God. Matter of fact, in Romans chapter 4, verse 20, if you're taking notes, Romans 4:20 tells us that it was through the promise of God that Abraham became strengthened in faith. Praise God.
Amen.
So if you wonder what it means to be spiritually strengthened, it just simply means to have strong faith, to have your faith built up, to have a strong resolve that no matter what happens, you're not about to give up. Praise God.
Amen.
So that's basically what spiritual strength is to have a resolve that I believe God and I'm not about to give up. And that's why Abraham became strong in faith as he looked to the promise and not to his problem. Glory to God.
Amen.
Now, let's look at Gideon again. Let's go to this time to Judges chapter 7. Judges chapter 7. Y'all remember last week we looked at Gideon, and I think the week before that we looked at Gideon, we were looking at Judges chapter 6, and we saw that Gideon was a man who was acting like a coward because he was being beaten, him and his family and his nation was being beaten down by their enemy called the Midianites. And so the angel of the Lord comes to Gideon and says that you are a mighty man of valor. And Gideon knows this is the Lord. Here's the word of God, but instead of saying, hey, that's God's word for me, I claim it. No, he begins to complain. Oh, God, if this is true, then why is all this happening to us? Why is this thing going on around us? Sounds like us, don't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me say it sounds like me. It sounds like I used to be, praise God. I now have begun to claim that I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
I now claim that I am a mighty man of valor. But I remember how I used to be just like Gideon. Why is this going on? Why is this happening to me? Why am I having to deal with this again? Praise God. We got to get out of that. We've got to learn to begin to speak the word of God regardless of what our circumstances look like. We've got to learn that we need spiritual resolve. But then God begins to, God being patient with Gideon, just like he is with us, began to explain to him that he has might, he has power, and that he has already given Gideon the victory over his enemies. And he told him that this victory belongs to you even before you ever go out to fight. See, what we got to learn to do is to claim the promises of God as already ours before we ever confront the devil and the problems that he brings our way. Praise God. When a problem comes your way, say a financial situation, then instead of crying, oh God, where am I going to get the money? What am I going to do? Begin to say, my God has already supplied that need. He's already made the promise, and I claim it by faith in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Feel pain in your legs like I was feeling this morning? Claim that by his stripes ye were healed. Praise God.
Amen.
Jimmy told me I'm just getting old, but praise God. Me and Jimmy was talking this morning. We were talking about our aches and pains. But begin to claim that by his stripes ye were healed. Begin to claim what the promises of God say instead of crying and whining about the problem you're dealing with. And that's what God was patiently trying to teach Gideon. Amen? And in this thing, we got to patiently teach people. See, this is what happens in the faith movement, at least back in the 80s, you know, where we started learning these truths, and as soon as somebody was going through a trial, we beat them down.
Why, you ain't got no faith? What's wrong with you?
No. God is patient. Be patient with people. Amen?
Amen.
You weren't always super spiritual, super high faith person. Neither was I. And I became arrogant once I learned these truths until trials started happening to me and my faith didn't seem to be working. And then I started whining and crying. So the first thing I learned was to stop beating up on other people when they're going through. Praise God.
Amen.
But instead to be loving, to be patient, and to pray with them. But As we here at Victoria's Word Christian Fellowship, we all must learn to be spiritual giants and learn to be strong in the things of God. And so now we go to Judges chapter 7. Let's begin at verse 9. It says, "And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Arise, get thee down unto the host." Listen to this. If you got, you need to underline this in your Bible. "For I have," say have.
Have.
Say have.
Have.
Notice that he didn't say, "I'm going to." Now, this is even before Gideon ever enters into the battle with the Midianites. He says, "I have delivered it into thine hand." He is already, he tells Gideon, even before you go in and fight them, "I've already given you the victory." This is the language of faith. God says that he has done something even before we see it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Praise God. And so we look to God's word and not to our circumstances to determine what the truth is about our situation. So he says, "I have delivered it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with fury thy servant down to the host." So God is saying, okay, you know what? I see that you're still a little scared, so I'm going to give you more confirmation. And so he tells him to go down there and listen to the word that I'm going to give to another person. And then once you hear my word, this is going to strengthen you. Verse 11 goes on to say, "And thou shalt hear what they said," because they're going to be speaking the word of God. "And afterward shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host," or the army. So God is saying that once you hear my word, then you'll be strengthened. Praise God.
Amen.
So John told the young men, "You are strong." Why? Because the word of God abides in you. He told Gideon, he said, "When you hear my word, then you'll be strengthened." Faith comes how?
Hearing.
And hearing how?
The word of God.
The word of God. Thank you, Martha. You come to the end of the class now. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So faith is your strength. Faith and strength are synonymous terms. When you hear the word of God, your faith is developed and you are strengthened, praise God. Your resolve is strengthened to deal with whatever situation. And see, when you have strength, That means you will not back down, praise God. I don't care how long the problem goes on. You will say, uh-uh, I'm still standing. I don't care, devil. You keep trying that. But I'm going to continue to stand, praise God. I ain't giving up. I ain't quitting. You got to get that kind of resolve in you. Quitters never win, and winners never quit.
Amen.
We go down to verse 12, and it says, and the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for a multitude, and their camels were without number as the sand by the seaside but for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream. Now listen, this man is about to receive the word of God through a dream, and another man is about to give the interpretation of that word. So that man told a dream unto his fellow and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came into a tent, and smote it that it fell, and overturned it, and the tent lay alone. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else, save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For, listen to this, into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. God, the word of the Lord is once again telling Gideon that it's already done even before you see it, praise God.
Amen.
So you need to claim the thing done long before you see it. And verse 15 it says, and it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshiped. Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, you need to ask some worship. Once you hear the word of God, if you truly believe it, you don't wait until the battle is over to shout. You shout now, praise God.
Amen.
When you hear the word of God, you begin to say, thank you, Father. Thank you for this truth. I believe that it's already done long before you see it happening, praise God.
Amen.
If you look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20, that's exactly what King Jehoshaphat and his people did. They began to worship God, and then, when they worshiped God, then God brought the victory in a physical manifestation before them. Glory to God.
Amen.
So when you need to learn to worship God before you see God move in your situation, because he's already moving. But you ought to walk by faith and not by
sight.
Walk by
faith
and not by
sight.
Praise God.
Amen.
So you're not to go by your physical eyes. The situation has to change because God has spoken his word already, praise God.
Amen.
Abraham waited 20 years before he finally saw the promise of God come to pass. But all that time, he continued to call himself the father of many nations. He continued to say, I am the father of many nations. And I'm sure people laughed at him. They said, man, why you keep saying that? You ain't even got no kids. What's wrong with you? But he continued to say that in spite of what everybody else was saying. People are going to laugh at you. But you know what? You believe the word of God anyhow.
Yeah.
And then you laugh after they see what happened. Then they're going to say, oh, you know, I didn't think that was, I thought you were crazy. But now I see that you're right. I'm going to church with you next Sunday.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. But where was I? Oh, yeah. It was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshiped and returned unto the host of Israel, said, arise. Now listen to this. Gideon is finally getting. See, before, Gideon was complaining. Before, Gideon was acting scared. Before, Gideon was saying, if you're really going to do this, won't you make this fleece dry and make the rest of it wet? And then the next day, won't you make it wet and make the rest of the area of it dry? He was doing everything to try to get out of this thing. But finally, Gideon has heard the word of God. He's worshiped. He's strengthened. And now listen to this. He is now making his confession. The words of his mouth are now finally beginning to line up with the word of God. Now it says, Gideon said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. Gideon is now speaking the word of God, praise God.
Amen.
You've got to learn to speak the word of God. You've got to learn to line this mouth up with what this says and stop complaining, stop talking about the situation, stop exalting your circumstance, Stop exalting the trouble. Stop making the trouble bigger than the word of God and begin to speak the word of God over your situation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Begin to say that by his stripes I am healed. Begin to say that I'm more than a conqueror. Begin to say that need is already supplied because he supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Begin to speak what God has spoken. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Begin to say what God says. As a matter of fact, in the New Testament, which was written in Greek, there's a word confession. And that word confession comes from a Greek word homologio. And it means to say the same thing as another person. So when you are making a what we call a confession of faith, then you are speaking the same thing that God said. When you start speaking, you need to speak the word of God. Praise God.
Amen.
Well, Pastor Troy, it sounds like I'm lying. Well, if you stop lying all the time, then maybe when you start speaking the word of God, you believe it. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So learn to speak the word of God. Learn to say what God says and watch your circumstances change for the better. I'm telling you this. I'm preaching this because I know this to be true. I know this to be real. This has been so real to me that I can't do nothing but teach this stuff now. Glory to God.
Amen.
But Gideon begins to speak and say, the Lord has delivered into your hands. And then look at this. Now he's going to teach them to do the same thing. Verse 16, and he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp. And say.
Say.
Gideon told them, you got to say something. You got to speak. And then he tells them to speak from the interpretation of the dream that he received, which was from the word of God. He said, say the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. In verse 14, you will find that that is exactly what was part of the interpretation of that dream, was it was the sword of Gideon, but Gideon as the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. But he tells them to speak the word of God. As we're going into battle, speak the word of God. As we're about to face the enemy, speak the word of God. Do like Jesus did. When Jesus was confronted by the devil, Jesus said, it is written. And he began to speak the word of God. You're no better than your master. If your master had to speak the word of God, you got to speak the word of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But if you don't know the word of God, if you don't have the word of God in you, you can't speak it. You can't speak something that comes out of you. When the devil's attacking you, it's not the time to get on your computer and look up on BibleGateway.com for that specific scripture. It's not the time to break out your Strong's Concordance and say, well, I need a scripture right now. The devil, while you're doing that, the devil's slapping you. You need to have it in you now. Get it in you now before trials come. And as you get it in you, then when the devil comes, then you can stand strong. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. And so Gideon is teaching them to go into battle, speaking the word of God. Let's go down to verse 19. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch. And they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpet and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried. Say they cried.
They cried.
Let me explain that word cried to you. See, it's an archaic word, as Pastor Mary was teaching earlier today, and she was talking about propitiation. We got these King James words that don't mean the same thing today that they meant back then. See, when you think of crying or cried, you think of a person going, right? That's not what that word means here. That word, they cried, is talking about to name something. It's talking about to call by name. It's talking about to give a name to. So what they were doing when they cried, they were naming and claiming their victory. It says they cried the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Praise God.
Amen.
See, you got to name and claim your victory. You've got to name it what God names, not what you want to name. You name what God names, what God is presenting in his word, and then you be, and by that, you claim what God has promised. Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, what has, a lot of people are down on what they call name it and claim it, but they're down on a misrepresentation of this teaching. It's like a man who once told a minister, he said, that woman that was singing up there today in church, I claim her as my wife. He said, do you know her? He said, I've never met her before in my life. And you're claiming her as your wife? He said, yeah. He said, you've been teaching on faith. He said, so I claim her as my wife. He said, but hold on a second. He said, you never met her. He said, you don't know her name. You don't know whether she's married or not. He said, and you looked at her far away. Maybe if you looked at her, look at her up close, she may not look as good as you think she does. he said, you can't just take this and go overboard. You name only those things that God has promised in his word, praise God.
Amen.
It reminds me of some years ago when I was teaching about faith in a Bible study class, sometime back in the late 80s. And brother heard my message and he got all excited. And so he was in the Marine Corps and they was about to send him to Korea for a month. And he was about to, he was in love with this girl and he didn't want to leave her and stuff like that. So all of a sudden he began to claim and speak that he's not going to Korea. So his girlfriend got a little disturbed by him claiming this stuff. And she tried to talk to him and she said, no, Brother Troy said that we can claim things. And so I'm claiming that I ain't going to Korea.
Yes.
And so she came to me and she said, Brother Troy, can you talk to him? He's claiming he's not going to Korea when he's got orders to go to Korea. So later on, I talked to him. I said, Deacon, he was a deacon in the church. I said, Deacon, did you ask God whether he wanted you to go to Korea or not? He said, no. I said, so you never sought the Lord? No. I said, pack your bags or you're going to Korea. Because he was not claiming something in the word of God. He was only claiming what he selfishly wanted, praise God. See, you in the military, you signed up for the military, you need to go where the military takes you, praise God. Amen. When I got assignments in the military, I didn't go around claiming that the assignment wasn't for me. I went on the assignment. I claimed God's presence while I was in the assignment, because that's a promise from him. I claimed God's protection while I went on those assignments, but I still went on the assignments because I was in the military, so I had to obey orders, praise God.
Amen.
God is not going to get you out of stuff that you done got yourself into. He'll be with you in it. He'll suffer with you through it, but he will not get you out of it unless he has specifically spoken to you that he don't want you going to that thing or doing that thing. Or going to that place, praise God. See, it reminds me of another story, but this time it was a couple that actually heard from God. They were believing God and believing God for a specific assignment because God had told them, I'm sending you here. But the military kept telling them, nope, you're going there. But God kept telling them, nope, you're going here. And so they continued to stand on what God has said, and they continued to believe God. And they got on it, and it was time for them to go. They was on the airplane. Their orders still said that they were going to such and such a place. So they got on the airplane with their orders. And as the airplane was halfway over the Pacific Ocean, the pilot came on and said, and gave an announcement, said, so-and-so and so-and-so, your orders have been changed at the last minute. You're going to blank. To the place that they were asking, that God told them they were going in the first place, praise God. But that's because they heard from God before they began to name and claim what they were believing God for, hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. And I remember the same thing with me and my wife. You know, when I was in Korea myself for a year-long tour, and the Lord had given me a dream. He had given me three dreams, three different nights. I don't want to get into all the dreams, but two of the dreams was talking about my ministry. Part of it was that God was going to put me into a deliverance ministry where I was going to be casting out demons and stuff like that. And the third night, I had a dream that I was back in Okinawa, Japan. And at the time, my assignment was to go to Florida. So I was supposed to leave Korea, pick up my wife and little baby Trisha, and we was on our way to Florida. But God told me, I'm sending you to Okinawa. So I said, okay, praise God. So I tried to put some action to my faith, went to the personnel office and said, I'd like to change my assignment from Florida to Japan. They said, sure. They sent the orders, and then the people changed my assignment. Praise God.
Amen.
Well, a week later, they came back and said, nope, you're going to Florida. Don't even think about it. So they changed my assignment right back to Florida. I was upset. I was discouraged. So I called my wife and said, honey, I hate to tell you this, but I need you to pray with me. They told me we're going to Florida. You know what she did? So I said, well, I can't depend on her to pray with me. So I went to the associate pastor of the church. I said, pastor, you know, God told me I'm supposed to go to Okinawa, Japan, but the military is telling me I'm going to Florida. I said, so won't you pray with me that they'll change my assignment? The pastor said, you know, Brother Troy, sometimes the Lord wants us to do things that we may not want to do. So you might have to accept whatever the Lord is really dealing with you on. I said, well, I can't depend on him to pray with me. So I got home and began to pray. And almost a year, I continued to stand. And I continued to try to get the assignment changed. They continued to tell me, no, you are going to Florida. Shut up. Leave us alone. But I continued to pray. I continued to stand. Oh, sometimes I wavered. Don't think I was super strong, okay? I wavered just like y'all do. Sometimes I said, you know, maybe I need to just prepare to go to Florida. But then the Lord would get a hold of me again and say, I'm sending you to Okinawa. So finally, I was able to talk to someone, and he said, all right, Troy, I'll see what I can do. And he sent the message, and he said, now go back to the personnel office and tell them to change your assignment. So I went to the personnel office again, and they really began to fuss with me. Listen, we're not going to do this. I said, please, just try it one more time. They said, all right, you know, this is a waste of our time. And so it was 2 weeks before I was supposed to leave, and I didn't hear anything. So I'm preparing myself to go to Florida. But I'm still saying, God, you said you're sending me to Okinawa. You're sending me to Okinawa. I'm going to continue to stand on that. I'm going to continue to believe that. I believe I'm going to Okinawa. And finally, I get a phone call, and the girl on the other end is ecstatic. She's like, Troy, I can't believe this. I said, what? She said, they changed your assignment. You're going to Okinawa. 2 weeks. This never happens. 2 weeks before you leave, they send you to Okinawa. I said, I knew it. I knew all along. And I hung up the phone and said, I'm all right! like Jimmy said, I gotta keep a cool point. But see, I tell you these stories because this is real. You can stand on the word of God. It doesn't matter how long it takes. It doesn't matter if you don't see the change immediately or right away. Continue to stand on the word of God. And you don't have to stand by yourself. All of us are here with you. Praise God.
Amen.
See, that was the other problem with the faith movement back in the old days when we was learning. We all wanted to be tough and we all wanted to stand on our own. But I'm going to tell you right now, group faith is better than individual faith. Hallelujah.
Yes. Amen.
I would rather, and this is why I'm teaching y'all this, because I want people that are strong in faith that will stand with me for this work. And for all our individual dreams and aspirations, hallelujah.
Amen.
All of you got dreams, all of you got visions that God is sending you towards. I want this church to help you to launch those visions and launch those dreams, but you got to be in faith with me as well, hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let this church be all of our dream, so that as this dream comes to pass, as this dream goes stronger, as we begin to see the building and the growth of this church, then God will begin to take you to higher heights and deeper depths. I'm concerned about your vision. I'm concerned about your individual dreams. I want to see you succeed. And that is my whole purpose in life, in establishing this church to help others succeed in their dreams. Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. So as you help me to build up this ministry, as you help us
to build up this church, then God is going to launch you into different places. This is like I told Pastor Stephen and Mary, because God spoke to me and showed me that there's a strong call on their life. And that God is really going to do some things through Pastor Mary's ministry. I'm thinking of Pastor Mary and Steve like a Joyce and Dave Myers type of thing. I don't know. but I told her, I said, you can't go nowhere until this work is fully built up, praise God. Wow. Hallelujah. Now, the Lord didn't say that. I said that. But God has great things for every last one of you here. It may not necessarily always be preaching ministry, teaching ministry. It may be a nursing job, or you know what? Some of you may be studying to be a doctor, or whatever it is that God has called you to do. Some of you are poets and you're selling books. Some of you are doing more art, aspiring to be better artists and stuff like that. Those are good dreams, praise God. Amen. Those are wonderful things. Some of you may just be wanting God to just heal your body. That's a good dream, amen. Yeah. Stand on it. Whatever your goal, short or long, maybe sometimes you just get past the short-term goal first, and then you can believe God for the long-term thing. But get in this word. Begin to stand on the word. Begin to name what you want and claim what you want, and God will bring it to pass in your life.
Amen.
Stand to your feet.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God. All his bow, all eyes closed.
Thank you, Jesus. If you're here today and you have not yet made Jesus Christ your personal Lord and Savior,